Okay. We do have several prayer requests and an update this morning, so we'll start with the update on Ashley Franklin. After surgery 12, she is down to one wound back, hallelujah, from five. Hmm. Her arm needs to granulate a little more for the final skin graft, hopefully in the next 7 days. They are hoping she will be able to leave the hospital in the next 2 to 3 weeks and start rehabilitation. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Ashley. Show yourself mighty. And then prayers for Joe Pyatt. He is getting the results from the MRI today. And then prayers for Ed Brown, who is looking for a job. He just got his CDL, so okay. He's looking for a trucking job. And then prayers for my little friend, Nikolai Cherry in Cordell, who is looking for a second job to support his family. And then my mom, Eva Fleming, has an unspoken prayer request. And then our dear friend, Mandy Wagner, asked for prayers.
Lord, I want to come on behalf of all these folks this morning, thankful that you hear our prayers, that we can come to you confidently knowing that as a father hears his children, you hear our prayers. Come before you on behalf of Ashley. Lord, I remember praying for her the last time I was here, and so I'm grateful to hear that she is improving and that you are in the business of healing still. We pray that her body would continue to repair itself, God, and that you would help the doctors to know exactly what needs to be done and at what times so that they can bring her to the healing that she needs and that she would be able to go home soon, because I know that she and her family would love to see that happen in the next, doctors say 2 to 3 weeks, perhaps even sooner than that, God, if it be your will. We ask that you would make that happen. Just thankful for Joe. God, I know that he had the ablation on his knee recently too, and that's gone well. So I just thank you for that. I pray that the reports from the MRI would be good today and that there would be, God, something to celebrate your goodness in their life for, even beyond the other things that's going on in their lives, the knee ablations he's had lately and things like that. God, would you give him a good report from the MRI this morning or today when they hear that? Pray for Ed, who is looking for a job. God, gotten the CDL, so I pray that you'd enable him to find a job that is suitable for him and would be a good fit for him and his skills and his new sought profession of driving. And so we just pray that you provide that for him. Pray for Nikolai Cherry, who is looking for a second job to support his family. We pray that you provide that as well, God. We thankful for people who are willing to work and to support their families, God, and we pray that you would honor that desire in him by providing work. And for Ava, God, we pray that you would just meet this need that she has. God, I'm not sure what the request is, but you do, and you know it better than I do, Lord. And so I just pray that you would meet the need that she has this morning in a way that is clear that it comes from you. And for Mandy Wagner, for the prayer that she's asking as well, God, that you would meet that need as well, God, in a way that demonstrates your power, your goodness, your kindness in her life as she, God, as she asks for this prayer this morning. And we, I just trust that you are at work in her situation, the situation of all these others. And God, I have several I know of recently that have dealt with loss. And God, we've got a funeral scheduled at our church tomorrow. We've got one scheduled at our church on Thursday. God, I know we've had lots of people that have lost loved ones lately. So I just pray for comfort for them, God. We trust that you can provide comfort for people in ways that only you are able to do, Lord. You have promised that you will be our strength and our comfort in the moments of life's difficult challenges. God, we pray once, finally, for Sue Huddleston, who has woken up not feeling well this morning. Just pray that you would help her, God, whether it's taking some medication or just your divine intervention, God, that you would help her to feel better today than she did waking up, God. And I just ask for your grace on her this morning. We pray all of these things this morning, trusting that you are a good God who hears our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. To be on the blessing book wheel for this month, like, share, and comment done. The book for this month is The Shelter of God's Promises by Sheila Walsh. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty. The address is 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Tammy Bailey will bless your socks and shoes off, y'all. Main Street Revival, April 27th through the 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. 1101 North Main Street, Elk City, Oklahoma. The revival will be held at the Cross on the corner of Country Club and Main. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope today.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Jason Holland. His title for this morning is Pricey, Planned, and Purposeful. Back to you, sir. But before we get back to your message, would you be kind enough to share about your church, location, times of services, and anything else that you would like to share?
Sure, I'd love to. We meet at First Baptist Church Cheyenne, which is in right in the middle of Cheyenne. If you go to the four-way stop right in the middle of town and head east, you will see us at the top of the hill. So come join us Sunday morning, 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:50 for worship. We are putting a pause on our Sunday evening activities for the summer months coming up. We're getting ready to get busy with camps and vacation Bible school and things like that. So our Sunday evening activities are going to take a break for a short time. But we are going to be meeting on Sunday mornings, and the youth will be meeting on Wednesday nights. So love to have you guys youth meet for 5:30 dinner, and then 6 o'clock we have our youth time of worship together in the youth room. So if you're so inclined, come join us at one of those particular times. So,
amen. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's pick up where we left off. You know, I was saying that the redemption that we have received in Christ was not an afterthought. It was not a plan B. It was something that was God's plan from the beginning. Something that I thought of whenever I was preparing this message. Before God said, let there be light, he said, let there be salvation. Before God ever spoke the words of creation, he had the plan in place for our redemption. Let there be salvation preceded let there be light. Think about that. God loved us enough. He knew that we would rebel against him. He knew we would hate him. He knew we would fight against him. He knew we would curse him and all the things. And yet, before he ever created us, he planned to redeem us. Like I said, with Adam and Eve, maybe he got fond of us and wanted to save us. I like these people. No, he knew from before creation how bad it was going to get, and yet still planned to to redeem us. He knew, and he loved us anyway. So think of it like this. Before God, before creation, God knew we would rebel. He knew we would sin, yet he loved us enough that he premeditated a plan to rescue us from our sin while still upholding his own justice. God's justice is satisfied in the death and resurrection of Christ. And yet, he still was able to give us the grace that he wanted to give us in Christ. What a beautiful thing. So you might think, well, I have to get my life in order to come to Christ. I might have to quit this particular bad habit. I might have to, grow up a little bit, get married. I need to get this job. I need to get out of school. I need to, you know, kick this addiction. I need to do whatever before I come to Christ. The answer to that is no. No, you don't. Before creation, God knew all of the sins you would have. He knew all of your flaws. He knew all of your weaknesses. He knew all of your difficulties. And before creation, he said, he saw you at your worst, and he said, I want him. He saw you at your weakest, at your most vulnerable, at your most broken, and said, I want her. Your salvation was pricey. Your salvation was planned. But your salvation also has a purpose. It is purposeful. I like in Scripture when the writers, particularly the New Testament, say, so that. Makes it easy to figure out what their point is or what their application is supposed to be. As a preacher, as somebody who teaches in the Bible, it helps me to figure out how I should direct the message, right? Because if somebody is saying, okay, do this, so that this can happen. Okay, well, that makes sense. Okay, we need to be this kind of person so that this happens. We need to believe this so that this other thing, right? This is what happens in our passage this morning. It says in verse 20, I'll start in verse 20. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but it was revealed at the end of times for you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that, okay, so there's that, so that your faith and hope are in God. Jesus was crucified. He was revealed to us. He was crucified. He was dead. He was buried. He was raised from the dead, and he resurrected to the Father's right hand, all for the purpose that we would have our faith and hope in God. Our faith and hope in God. Peter tells us that the point of Jesus' bloody death, glorious resurrection, is our faith and our hope in him. Sometimes we think of salvation as being a way to, I get to go to heaven when I die, or you know, we want to tell people about Jesus so they don't have to go to hell. And those are certainly great things. You know, we want those things for ourselves and for other people. But the ultimate purpose of salvation, you look at the Old Testament, read it all the way through. From the Old Testament, the ultimate purpose of salvation is so that God would be glorified in our redemption. That our faith and our hope would be in him and in him alone. So think of that. Think about that. God went to such great lengths planning and purchasing our salvation so that we would give up trusting in lesser, still dead gods. We so often want to cling to things that are ultimately worthless. I mean, the prophets in the Old Testament would mock the people for worshiping gods that they created. And, you know, we don't have, you know, at least in this country, we don't have gods that we create ourselves, you know, little statues of gods that we bow down to. We have any number of other things that we substitute for God, that we cling to, we put our hope in, whether it's our status or our financial state or, as I said a few minutes ago, our good works. We put our hope in all of those things. But the point of our pricey and planned redemption, the purpose of that is so that we would give up trusting in those things. We would quit trusting in insufficient saviors. We were to quit putting our hope in powerless idols. Our hope must be fully on God. Our faith must be in Christ alone. There are so many places in Scripture where it talks about our salvation coming not by the things that we do, not by the things that we can acquire or the things that we can accomplish or the the people we surround ourselves with, our salvation comes by faith alone, in Christ alone. There is no other way to receive salvation. Our faith must be in Christ alone. And the reason for that is, there is no other way. As I said to start this, our redemption was pricey. It was a pricey redemption that we ourselves were incapable of paying. We don't have the spiritual resources, if you will, to pay for our own salvation. We can't go to the marketplace of redeeming slaves, redeeming sinners, and redeem ourselves. We lack the ability to do that. The Bible speaks of sin as being a debt. We are incurring a debt. We don't have the means to pay that debt on our own. And because of who we have sinned against, our debt is so immense, so far beyond anything that we could possibly conceive, that we would never in a million lifetimes, even if we lived this one lifetime as sinners and then lived every other lifetime without sin, we would still not pay off the debt that we have against God because of our sin. And so it took the precious blood of Jesus Christ to pay off our sin. It took it. It took no less than God himself coming, taking on the form of man, as the scriptures describe it, taking on the form of a servant, giving himself up for us in order that we would be saved. But then it's so beautiful that God planned it in advance, that not only did he redeem us, but he planned to do it. He saw in advance. Think what kind of love it is to plan in advance for something like that. Now, I have three kids, and particularly the older two, because they're old enough to kind of understand these things. Our son is 9 years old, so these things don't quite comprehend to him quite the same way. We tell our daughters, whatever trouble you find yourself in, whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever mistakes you make in life, you are still our daughters. We will love you. There may be consequences for your actions, but we are never going to give up on you. We are never going to cut you out of our lives. You are our daughters until we die. You are ours. And if we, as sinful parents, can love our children in that way, if we can look into the future, not even knowing what they might do, and say that, how can we reject a God who can look into knowing the future, knowing with exact, precise detail all of the ways that we would hurt him, sin against him, and he would still choose to say, you are my son. Jason, you are mine. And I love you enough that I am going to give my very life for you. How can we reject a God like that? How can I reject the purpose of that pricey planned salvation? How can I put my faith, my hope, in anything else? How could it possibly be that knowing what I know about God, knowing how he gave everything for me, knowing that he planned in advance to do that for me, how can I put my faith in my own goodness? How can I put my faith in my family legacy? My parents have gone to church before I was born. My grandparents have gone to church forever. I have a tremendous legacy of faith in my family. I am a pastor. And yet, none of those things makes me right with God. Only the pricey redemption that I have received does. So, my grandparents, my parents, me, what a legacy that my children have. And yet none of those things guarantee them anything in eternity. Now, we have a responsibility as their parents to pass on what we have received. But they have to respond to the call of God in their life. Their legacy doesn't save them. Only the goodness of God in Christ can save them. So we can't put our trust in anything else. How can we respond to a God who's done all this for us with anything but faith? And how can we put our hope in anything else? Because Think of this. The same God who planned our redemption, knew how wicked we were going to be, how rebellious we were going to be. The same God who planned that is the same God who has redeemed us, and the same God who's told us in Scripture that because Christ died and rose from the dead, we who are with Christ in death will be raised with him. How can I not have my hope on that? What a joyous thing to think. No matter what happens in this life, if I walk out of this room today and I get hit by a car and I die, if I have a stroke in the middle of the night and I never take another breath, my hope is in Christ. I know that the first thing I see after I open my eyes will be the face of my Savior. What kind of hope? What in the world can give me that kind of hope? Nothing in this world. You could give me all the world. In fact, the people who have all the world are often the most miserable people because their hope is in the wrong place. We have such a glorious, gracious God who from before creation planned our salvation, who purchased our salvation. And because of that, the purpose of our salvation is that he would receive the glory of our faith and our hope in him. So the question I like to end when I teach, particularly when I preach at my church, I end with questions because I want my people to think about what has been presented to them. So the question I'll ask today is, where is your faith? Where is your hope? Is it in your own good works? Are you good enough? Are you confident that, as Hebrews 9:27 says, that it is appointed once for man to die and after this the judgment? Are you confident that when you stand before God on the judgment day, are you confident in your own good works? Are you confident in your family legacy being enough? Or are you confident in the one who rose from the dead? Are you confident that when you stand before God on the judgment day, that when you stand there, you face the judgment, that Jesus is standing next to you with his arm around you and says, Father, this one is mine. Don't put his sins on his account. Put them on my account. I got it. He's with me. That's where my confidence is. That's where my confidence is. If I stand there on my own, I didn't make it out of bed this morning probably without in some way offending the holiness of God, just in the thoughts that I had, you know, something that came up. But on the day of judgment, I can stand there confidently knowing that Jesus will be there with me. And he will say, Father, this one's mine. Put his on my account. Jesus' death defeated sin. His resurrection defeated death. So I heard somebody say one time, and I absolutely love this. It's a paraphrase of something that is in 1 Corinthians 15. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for yesterday we were dead. So my invitation is this. I'm not going to ask anybody to walk down the aisle because we're not at church. But my invitation to this is this. There are, I think, two appropriate responses to a message like this. The first is, if you have never done so, responding in repentance and faith. Repentance simply means just rejecting your sin and following Christ. Faith, I mean, I think I've used this illustration before. It's like a coin. Repentance on one side, faith on the other. We reject our sin. We are facing this direction. We turn away from our sin and we turn to facing Christ. That's what repentance and faith looks like. Reject your sin. Turn to Christ. Put your sin on his account. Your sin, it's not an accident that you are hearing this today. If God planned salvation from before creation, he planned for you to hear this morning. In the same way, those who have received salvation respond with rejoicing. How can we not rejoice? How can we keep from singing? How can we keep from praising the Lord who purchased us at such a cost, who planned to purchase us at such a cost? What a glorious reality. How can we not sing the praises of the one who saved us? So let me pray for us this morning. Father, what a God, I'm at a loss for words right now, just dumbfounded at your grace, at your goodness to us. God, to know that you saw all of my wickedness. And it's not that you didn't care about that, you just overlooked it. God, it's that you cared enough that you wanted me to be redeemed from my evil way of life. And so you planned for my salvation in Christ. What a joy. What a glorious reality that my Savior gave his life so that I may be redeemed. And he rose from the dead, slamming the door in the face of sin and death. God, you alone are deserving of our glory, our worship, our honor, our praise. You alone, Lord, are worthy of our faith and our hope. And so we give them to you this morning in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour Power this morning, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, and from Pastor Jason Holland. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.